Hi, I'm Andre Bella for Esoterica, a short feature about things beyond the five senses. This piece that I'm going to read this morning called The Cowboy was written by my daughter Skye when she was 15. A little editing by Mom, and I wish she could read it for you, but here is The Cowboy. I tell this story all the time because I can see it so clearly in my mind's eye. I feel the grit of the sand in my boots and the heat of the sun, baking my skin a deep brown. Maine can be fiercely hot in the summer, even if it's called vacation land. Don't let the label fool you. This is the story of a humble old cowboy from Utah. The meaning of life streams through his two weathered, dark brown eyes. Call those eyes what you wish, deep, profound, full of truth and life experience. There's no word for it, but you know it when you see it. My life changed the day I met the cowboy. I'd prefer to tell this story to you in person because if I could look you right in the eye and mimic the cowboy's nonchalant slouch against the bumper of his rusty old pickup, that would be great. And I know you don't want to hear a lot about me. You want to hear about the cowboy. But you have to know a little bit about me at that time in my life. Every shred of a waking moment since I was 7 had been about horses. It's a familiar tale of girl falls in love with horse. Unfortunately, this beautiful fable runs more smoothly with a good cash flow, preferably out of daddy's pocket. I didn't have a daddy's anything, let alone his pocket. So I spent my childhood until the time of the story, when I was 15, working as an apprentice for a myriad of slave-driving horse trainers. Looking back, I've come to the conclusion that these apprenticeships, routinely filled by the constant flow of horse-crazy girls, had somehow slipped conveniently unnoticed past the child labor laws. I'd been working for a German dressage trainer for about 3 years. When performed correctly, dressage is an incredible dance between human and horse. My trainer imported stunning horses from Germany. She was highly regarded here in the States and traveled to Germany frequently to buy, sell, and train horses. After competing in the Pan American Games, she established herself as a reputable trainer who dealt with the upper echelons of dressage competition. Every day I strive to imitate the harsh training methods of this stern woman. After all, wasn't this the best way to control and dominate an animal many times your size? No pain, no gain, for animal or human. The German trainer had paid her dues working through the traditional slavish apprentice system, and she expected her students to do the same. No free lunch for man or beast. I watched hundreds of sweaty, frothing horses leave her arena, scared out of their wits by this woman whose biceps made my thighs look puny. If I were a thief in the dark alley and I met her, I think I'd just run the other way. Perhaps I would have become her if I hadn't met the cowboy. Our paths crossed because of my innate, young, exceedingly inexperienced, and yet bold sense of entrepreneurship. At 15, I wanted to buy, train, and sell horses, at a profit, of course. I'd invested every cent in my bank account in a crazy and dangerous, yet stunningly beautiful thoroughbred named Drew. The plan was to fix his bad habits and then resell him. But there were a few problems with this slick idea. Right from the day I bought him, I could tell he was going to eat me out of house and home, which rapidly pushed me into the red, and he nearly killed me on a regular basis. Trying to load him into a trailer was definitely a life-threatening experience. Approaching the trailer, he'd rear and paw the air, great in the movies, but behavior that would make any potential buyer head for the hills. I used all the skills I'd learned from the German trainer, but it wasn't working. And my mother was starting to freak out about my safety, so I hired the German to help me. Despite the size of her biceps, Pan American credentials, and the brutal use of a rough chain inserted under Drew's lower lip, she couldn't get him in the trailer. Drew quaked, rolled his eyes, reared, and nearly toppled over backwards. She left in her wake a wide-eyed horse, a $200 bill, and a last-minute reminder that I still owed her for half a bag of grain from a year ago. She got in her shiny new pickup and drove away. I cried. I sat on the grass and sobbed. Now, I'd heard about the cowboy. I'd even met him once, but the German said, "Don't bring that Western cowboy bullshit into my barn or you're out." But now I was desperate. And desperation makes you do things you wouldn't normally do. I called him. He came, driving up in a dilapidated pickup with a rusty old cow trailer rattling behind. Honestly, you heard the rig before you saw it. I scoffed as I stood in my tweed riding breeches. This was going to be a joke. Cowboy bullshit. If the German couldn't do it, a cowboy definitely had no chance. But like I said, desperation makes you do funny things. Little did I know that from that day on, the cowboy would become my greatest teacher, not just about horses, but about life itself. In my mind, this part of the story slows down. The clouds are keenly white in the sharp blue sky. The dust of the arena lifts slowly as he pulls up. The engine cuts and the creak of the driver's door permeates the heat of the day. He's an old cowboy, perhaps one of the last. He's from Utah, grew up on the range, rode before he walked, and makes cowboy coffee by throwing the grounds in boiling water and then sifting them through his teeth. He wears work-worn jeans, boots, and an old Stetson. A lasso sits neatly coiled in the back of his rusty pickup. "So where's this old horse?" he asks. "I'll go get him," I said. The cowboy opened the rusty doors of the back of the trailer. Leading Drew across the arena, I said, "He won't load into the trailer. He rears and pulls and fights. I have to be able to load him because I need to sell him soon. School's starting, then it's winter, and nobody buys in winter. I don't know if I even have enough money to feed him," I said desperately. I won't bore you with all the technical details of what happened or give you some romantic horse whisperer tale, but I can solemnly say that no horse whisperer has anything on the cowboy. He lives and breathes horses. My mom says he's part horse, and she's not far off the mark. At the end of 2 hours, I had to heave my jaw out of the sand. It had dropped about an hour in when my spastic, still injured from the German trainer horse, started tentatively walking in and out of the cowboy's old trailer. Now Drew sighed, walked in, walked out, walked in and ate some hay, slowly relaxing in the summer swelter. He rested his head on the ground next to the cowboy, all 4 feet on the ground this time. The fear had vanished from Drew's deep brown eyes, which radiated a luxurious softness as he gazed at the cowboy. Was this the same horse? I was awed. I was impressed beyond belief. And then I got to thinking, if the German had charged me $200 for training that didn't work, what was this going to cost me? $300? $400? Honestly, I didn't care. What was $400 to witness a miracle only slightly short of Moses in the burning bush? Finally, the cowboy called it a day. Drew stood quietly as the cowboy removed the old rope and halter. "Well, I hope that helped. He should be better now," he grunted. He leaned up against the trailer hitch, resting one boot against the truck. Leaning back, he said, "Nice place you have here." "Thanks," I murmured. "My mom and I pretty much run the place." I don't exactly remember what else I said that day. I probably gushed something ridiculous like, "Wow, that was amazing. Thank you so much. Incredible. You're amazing to watch." I was still pulling my jaw out of the sand. "So what do I owe you?" I asked. He walked slowly to the back of the trailer, closed the rusty doors. I could hear the grind as the rusty hinges grudgingly whined shut. Placing a weathered hand on the door jamb, he stopped, turned around to me, looked at me in the eye, and said, "You don't owe me nothing. You're a hard-working girl. I'm just trying to help. You come by now and say hi one of these days." And with that, he got in his pickup, and the whole rusty, dilapidated rig rattled on up the road. And that's how I met the cowboy. Epilogue. My daughter Sky wrote this recently. "I've known the cowboy for years now. He's taught me to fix bad horses and start young horses. He says, 'Sky, relax for softness. I don't know much. It's just about feel. Just always release for softness. Don't forget that.' Heck, I'm just an old cowboy. I don't know any of the fancy stuff, he says. I've learned to smile softly. If I try to praise him, he just turns away to coil a rope or feed a cow. I feel such gratitude for the cowboy's humble nature and kindness. And I'm not the only one. Look over there at that horse. See that look in his eyes? He loves the cowboy, too. For Esoterica, I'm Andre Bella. Thanks for listening.